Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
Happy New Year. Yeah, so this is, I'll if you don't give me a lot of feedback, then I'll just ask for it again so you do it better. So let's do that. So I want to welcome all our guests too. Lee had mentioned that it's awesome to have new people at the new year. And so if you're visiting today, we're glad you're here. Church of Lake Travis family, let's welcome all our guests today. Just to say thanks for being here. Yeah. Super, super glad, and we love all of you regulars too. So you're in a good place. We're glad you're here. You know, our vision as a church is to be a transformed people for a transformed city, and Lee mentioned that a moment ago. And God accomplished so much in 2018, and the best, I believe, is yet to come. And I love that we sang about that this morning, that the best is yet to come. There's more that God has for the Church at Lake Travis. And so what I want to do here this morning and each Sunday when we gather during 21 days of prayer is I want us to have a season of prayer kind of built into our Sunday morning experience. I want us to be able to kick off every year putting God first and saying, God, we know that if we put you first, that you promise that you'll bless the rest. And so we want to do that here this morning. In fact, here's what I want to invite you to do. I want to invite you to stand to your feet because I want us to have a little mini prayer clinic here this morning. And I'm going to prompt you with some things to pray. You can pray out loud. You can pray to yourself. You can lift your hands. You can clap your hands. You can walk around if you want to do that. You can make yourself at home, all right? Let's do that. And I'm just going to lead us in a time, kind of a prayer clinic, a lot like we'll do on Saturdays, every Saturday, but we'll have a more extended version. So here we go. We're going to use the Lord's Prayer just as a model, and I want to invite you just to bow your heads where you are, and let's fix our attention on the Lord. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Would you just praise God right there where you are? Just speak your praise to him. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him you adore him. You're worthy, God. There's no one like you. There's never been anyone like you. In your own way, praise God. Hallowed be your name. Then your kingdom come and your will be done. Just lay down your plans for your life. Surrender your life. Say, God, your plans are better than my plans, and so I surrender those to you. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Not my will, but your will. Less of me and more of you. May that be our heart this year. And now we say, give us this day our daily bread. Right there where you are. Ask God. You have needs in your life. Ask him to meet those needs. Relational needs, financial needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs. Give us this day. Give us the stuff we need for this day. Let us not be anxious about tomorrow, but let us trust you today. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. This is a prayer, a declaration to get right with God and get right with others. Who do you need to release? Who do you need to forgive? Simply speak to God. Ask him to forgive you. Release those who've offended you. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There is no temptation that has seized you except that which is common to man. And God is faithful. He will provide a way for you to stand up under it. Would you just speak your confidence in God, that He is your victory, that He is your strength, that He is the one who gives you victory over temptation, that you're able to walk in oneness with God because of this time that you've spent with Him, and as you do, that He's given you a victorious life over anything the enemy can bring your way. And then we just want to wrap it up by saying, for yours is the kingdom and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Would you speak your praise one more time to God and just say, God, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. We celebrate you, God. There's no one like you. There's never been anyone like you. We love you, God. There's, God, let this season of 21 days of prayer bear fruit in our lives. God, we don't want to be faithless and fruitless people. We want to be faithful and fruitful people. So God, let it bear fruit in our lives. Let the time that we spend every day on Facebook together at noon in devotional and prayer be a time where we grow in our faith. Let Saturday mornings be a time of prayer, God. Let this church be a church of prayer. God, that we wouldn't be a people that call on you on Sunday and hang up the phone and never call back again till the next week, but that we would be a people that would be daily in prayer. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God some praise. Yeah. You may be seated. Thank you. Amen. Thank my man Reggie back here playing the keys for us. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Well, let me just ask. We kick off this series called First, and it's the order is important. We know that the order of our lives is important. This is really a series about priorities. Let me ask you, how many of us want to have an abundant life? Like, you want to have a life and life to the full. And I believe that God wants us to have that. John 10:10 says that Jesus speaking, I've come that they, his followers, might have life and have it to the full. And I think that's what God wants for us, but I believe it starts right here. It starts with what order our lives are in. I believe that God wants to move us from death to life. I believe God wants to move us from defeat to victory. I believe God wants us to move from struggling to thriving in life. And so I believe it starts with this idea of how we prioritize, and I will even use this word, capitalize our lives. This title indicates that the order matters, and God is a God of first, and we'll see that over and over again. And he actually tells us what order our lives should be in. He doesn't leave us clueless. He tells us exactly how we should order our lives. Back in 2005, there was a book that was released called Freakonomics. Maybe some of you guys have read that book. Freakonomics was a book about how the world is run by different kinds of capitals within a complex economic structure and system. In this book actually spurred some thoughts among some believers that they started asking the question, what could the concept of capital look like in terms of spiritual life and kingdom life? And as we look at scripture, as we look at Jesus' life, we see over and over again at least five forms of capital that are needed in our life. Now, maybe this language of capital sounds weird in church, and so I'll go ahead and say that. I get it. But we'll see again and again that this is to explain the idea of goods or assets that we have in our possession that we can then in turn invest in other things. You know, we think about capital and we think economies are built on capital economically, an exchange of different capitals. And we normally think of capital in terms of monetary value, but there are all kinds of capital, all kinds of works that relationships form, and they form these networks that are valuable. We invest these kinds of capital. So Before you check out, let me just go ahead and explain what those capitals are. Number one, and I'm going to list them in order of least to greatest, but the first capital that, if I can find it in my notes, the first capital is financial capital. The first capital is financial capital. This is simply the money that we have that we're able to invest, measured in dollars and cents, and we're most familiar with this one because we work with it every day, right? Like, that's normal for us. And Jesus actually talked about money quite a bit, as we'll see in this series. This isn't a money series, just as Be Rich wasn't a money series. This is just flowing from the scripture, because the scripture talks a lot about how we handle the resources that have been given to us. Now, we can obviously take money and we can turn it into an idol if we're relying on it for significance or security, but when it's in its right place, it's simply a form of capital that can be used to help all the other capitals be better. So that's the first one. The second one is intellectual capital, and intellectual capital is the creativity and knowledge that we have to invest. That's ideas and concepts, and measured in that way. This is a higher value than financial capital, as we'll see, because you can't create ideas and creativity simply by spending a lot of money. Does that make sense? No. So Jesus had an astonishing level of intellectual capital. Like, he had people all the time saying, where did this guy get all of this wisdom from? And he got it straight from his relationship with God. Dallas Willard said this. He said, Jesus wasn't just nice. He was brilliant. People recognize that in Jesus. The third form of capital is physical capital. And this is the time and energy that we have available to invest, measured in hours and minutes. And it comprises the time we make available for tasks, projects, and relationships, as well as the capacity that we have to use that time. Our overall health comes into play here, because it greatly affects our ability to invest time and energy. So if you're sick, obviously your physical capital is hindered. You can't be as productive in life. Jesus shows us that this is so important when he talks about how we should have rhythm to life, and how we should work and we should rest. And we have these rhythms of working and resting. And he teaches his disciples this so that they can abide in him and ultimately bear fruit. The fourth capital is relational capital. This is the relational equity that we have available to invest, measured in family and friends. And if you're a super relational person, you're probably like, no, that's the best one, you know? Like, the reality is, this is only second most valuable. Having family and friends is extremely valuable, and the amount of relational capital we have accrues to us in many ways from our overwhelming sense of well-being. We know we're healthier if we're more connected with people than we are if we're disconnected. We have happiness in more tangible ways, and we see Jesus do this all the time. He invests his physical capital, he invests his relational capital to grow his relational capital, right? He takes his time and his energy to invest in relational dynamics with his disciples over and over again. The last form of capital is the spiritual capital. This is the spiritual equity that we all have in our lives, and we're able to invest, and it's measured in wisdom and in power. We see people astonished at Jesus's teaching all of the time. Well, I already mentioned that. It was full of authority and wisdom, his miracles, because they expressed a degree of God's power that they had never seen before. Jesus was rich in spiritual capital, and that's what he had that gave him the resources needed to carry out his mission in the world. So we see Jesus constantly urging people, take one form of capital and trade it in for a higher form of capital, because he knew for Jesus, this is the ultimate payoff. Living as a disciple, that you grow your spiritual capital, which is the highest capital. And as you do, when Jesus talked about life in the kingdom of God and how it was worth everything else, he was talking about a life rich in spiritual capital. Now, you could say Jesus' whole mission was to help people prosper in spiritual capital, and that through spiritual capital, all other capitals would thereby be blessed in their lives. Now, the life Jesus calls us to is actually a life that is investing in these five capitals that leads to that abundant life that I mentioned early on. Now, I want to show you a fascinating story today, and it comes from Luke chapter 16, begins in verse 1. Luke chapter 16 begins in verse 1. It's the parable of a shrewd manager, and it talks about how if we keep the order in the proper order, that we will experience the abundant life that God wants for us. So let's look at this story in Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 1. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and he asked him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be a manager any longer." This guy's getting fired from his job. And the manager said to himself, "What shall I do now? The master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. And, oh, I know, I've got an idea. So when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses." So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" 900 gallons of olive oil," he replied. The manager told him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Cut it in half." Then he asked the second, "How much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels, or about 30 tons of wheat," he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. So drastically reduce that. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. Interesting. "For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than they are with the people of light. I tell you," and this statement is a kicker, "use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it's gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings." Then he goes on, he says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little," which is what this man had done, "will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." What is up with this evil manager who does some shady practices in his business and then gets commended for his shrewdness? Like, why is this even a thing? It's so interesting to see the forms of capital in their order, in proper order, throughout this story. We see the first thing in the first part of the story, when there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. In other words, he wasn't using his financial capital in a healthy way. He wasn't stewarding his resources in the proper way. And then after he gets fired, he has an idea. He says, "I know what I'll do when I lose my job here, so that people will welcome me into their houses. I'm going to start canceling their debts and lowering their payments." And so, how many of you know that would make a lot of friends, right? So he has an idea. He uses intellectual capital to improve his financial capital at the time. Then the story goes on, and he goes through and he has these conversations, and we see in verse 9 where this astonishing statement, "Use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it's gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." We see that Jesus is saying that relational capital is very, very important. In fact, you should even use financial capital in order to increase your relational capital. Financial capital, being a lower form of capital, should bless all the other capitals. It should make you a wiser person. It should make you a healthier person. You should use your resources financially to help you with relational dynamics. And even here, throw parties for yourself and your friends. Like, how many of you have ever wanted to throw a party, but you couldn't because you didn't have the resources to do it? Yeah, me, I have. Yeah. Jesus said, it's good to have resources. The resources aren't bad, but we have to know what they're for. And they're used ultimately to bless others and to have a relational investment in people. So use these things, he says. But then he goes down and he says this statement in verse 13. He says, you cannot serve both God and money. He says there's really, when it comes down to it, there's two capitals that come down. And this is where it all boils down. This is where the rubber meets the road. It's spiritual capital and financial capital. And which one you have leading the way determines how everything else plays out. Jesus often spoke about these capitals. He said, you know, in Matthew 22, when someone said, hey, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus said, I can tell you what the greatest commandment is. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Don't we want to love God first and foremost? That should be the cry of every believer's heart. And then he said, what's the next greatest commandment? And they said, love other people the way that I have loved you. The way that I've loved you. Love other people. Relational capital. And throughout Scripture, we see this demonstrated again and again. Jesus encourages us to recognize the relative value of each capital as it plays out and invest it wisely. But you may be asking, how does this relate to my life? I'm glad you asked. Every one of these capitals is something we use every day. Every day we use these, and it's really a matter of the order that we find them in. I think we see these around all of the time. We see these in place all of the time. We see in business, for instance, a normal scenario in business. I'm going to ask for some audience participation here. This is kind of like Family Feud, where you yell out and we'll see if you're right or not. Okay, so what's the top value in business? Profit, yeah, financial capital, yeah. Should be, maybe relate, no, but we'll look at all the right order in a minute. So financial capital, it's the bottom line. Like, what that drives most businesses, especially corporations. You're a lot of small business owners and you love people, so you might value relationships more, but the corporate world is mostly all about the bottom line. The second one might be intellectual capital. That is the competence that people bring to the table. Like, are you smart enough to do your job? The next one is relational capital. And it's not relational capital necessarily in terms of healthy relationships, but more the relationships externally. Like, how are we going to engage with people outside of the organization? Then physical capital. And what we find in most organizations, most businesses, is that the physical capital is neglected. People are overworked and underpaid, and it's just a slave-driving kind of industry where everybody is, if you ask someone how they're doing, they'll say either busy or tired. The next capital is spiritual capital. And what do we see in the business world when it comes to spiritual capital? It's whatever works for you, man. It's all good. That's spiritual capital in the business world. Now, we, I believe, have been influenced more by the business community than we even realize when it comes to our own spiritual life and our own capitals. One, you know, I don't know about you, but on Sundays, oftentimes I'll think like, man, I sure would like to have some Chick-fil-A. but yeah, amen, right? Like, but we don't get Chick-fil-A on Sundays. Why? Because they have prioritized their capitals in such a way that says that spiritual is first, and they're going to take Sunday off because they want to honor God with the first day of their life and their business. I think it's interesting. What would it look like for a prioritized business. For those of you who are in business, I think this could be helpful to you. I think about it in these terms, that you have spiritual capital first and foremost in your business. Now, what does that mean? In practical terms, it means that you are clear about your brand and your identity. That is your vision and your values. You know who you are, and you're communicating those on a regular basis with people. That's the why behind the what of everything that you might do. The next one is relational capital. And like some of you a moment ago, you start to see people as your biggest asset. So you create a healthy work environment, and you care more about people's health than anything else. The next one is physical capital. You recognize that your business has rhythms in it, and you work those rhythms to your advantage. You're not like slaving at a time when nobody's going to get any work done anyway. You're taking off that time. Does that make sense? Hopefully so. The fourth one is intellectual capital, and that is that you don't see people as that they have to be competent to hire them, but you see them as people that you can invest in. You hire people that you know that you can develop and that you can pour into to train and promote from within. And then finally, after you invest in all of those other capitals, the last one will take care of itself, and that is financial capital, because we steward our resources, invest them wisely, and grow the market share in the business. But what about other fields? Like, we see this again. I'm just trying to demonstrate as an introduction to this series that you see these all the time, and they're ordered differently everywhere. And then the subsequent question is, how should they be ordered in our lives? But we see them in the world of education and academia, and we see that intellectual capital is at the top, right? Like, that's number one, is what you know, how many books you've written, how many, you know, all of that. Financial capital, especially for colleges and endowment funds and all those things. Relational capital, we might care about the students after we care about the intellectual and the financial capital. Then physical capital, what's our campus look like, and what's the beauty of it, and all that. Then at the end is spiritual capital. And again, it's like the business community. It's like whatever works for you is what works for everybody. What about Hollywood? How about these? Hollywood, number one capital of Hollywood is physical capital, right? Like, it's all about what appearance I have. It's all about what I'm wearing. It's the red carpet experience. Like, oh, look at, she's wearing a da 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 da. You know, like, that's what Hollywood cares about over and over again. And the next form of capital for Hollywood is financial. They care about what's the blockbuster movie bringing in, and how much has it brought in? And, you know, this past week, the big movie that came out was Bird Box. And Bird Box is, I'm not going to ask. How many of you watched Bird Box this week? Just show of hands. Okay, you can be honest here. You're among friends. Okay. So, differing opinions about Bird Box on if it was a good movie or not. I'm taking a spiritual view of it, that we have a very real enemy that is seeking to kill and destroy us, and we have to walk not by sight but by faith, and we're going to be victorious in the end. All right? How about that? You like my spiritual interpretation of the movie? But here's what they were talking about. Here's what they were really, from launching the movie, when they did, with who they did, and all of the actors and everything, and the appearance of how they did that, they were counting on one thing, and that is to make some money. They wanted to earn more financial capital. Relational capital in Hollywood comes down the line. Like, we see marriages bust up all the time. Like, there's no depth of relationships in Hollywood. Intellectual capital, you know, who wrote the movie and how's it all, and then spiritual capital, it's all over the place. Now, I've kind of given you that introduction to say to you, what about your life? How is your life prioritized right now? For me, I'd love to be able to say that I prioritize my life all the time, and that you should follow me as I follow Christ. And I'd love to say that, but I can't. 3 years ago, I was first introduced to this material, and when I did, my life capitals were in this order. First, financial. Like, I was so anxious and worried about money and what my family was going to do. We had just brought our daughter home from Haiti, and I was so stressed and anxious about money and just how, I don't know why. Like, I had never thought, because I think I had four boys, so I'd never thought that that I was going to have to pay for a wedding one day. I mean, like, but that all of a sudden hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, how am I going to do that? Like, after four boys going to college and all, and maybe hopefully the girl going to college as well. Like, all of that became crashing down on me, and I started to stress out and focus on financial capital like crazy. And then I began to use intellectual capital and study and figure out, like, what kind of stuff can I do on the side? What kind of jobs can I do that will bring extra income but will give me margin, or I can do in the margins of life and it won't distract me from what I'm doing here? Like, how can I do that? And I was getting, you know, using intellectual capital. Then I would draw close to my family, and I would say, you know, what do you guys think? And we would have relational capital invested in that. And then maybe, I hope that I could say that I was praying about it, like, after all of those other things, that, like, as an afterthought, God, would you help me with that? And then at the time, I wasn't taking care of myself physically. And so I didn't have the energy. I didn't have the time. I didn't have any of those things. I wasn't managing those well. So physical capital was at the very bottom. Me right now, just to be transparent with you, again, I would love to be able to say spiritual capital is at the top for me. And I hope that through this season of 21 days of prayer, that can be true. But if I were to evaluate the last month or so, I would say, no, that's not at the top for me. Relational capital has been at the top. I've been spending time with friends and family, and I've neglected my spiritual life. And then I would say spiritual life has probably come in a close second. Then I would say intellectual capital has fallen in, and I'm like, okay, this is the ideas and concepts that we need to grow the church, to advance, and I start thinking in those ways. And then financial capital is after that. And I'm not so worried about the financial capital right now. I think that God's been blessing, and it's been cool to see him provide for us. And I've been learning to trust him regardless. And then finally, physical capital. Again, I don't know if you can say this or not, but I didn't take such good care of myself over the holidays. I think I gained about 8 pounds. Okay, come on. So I just haven't been taking care of myself. And so when I heard this a long time ago, when you have an abundance of something, it's more difficult to be disciplined with it. And so we see that in the holiday season. When you have an abundance of food, it's harder to be disciplined with it. When you have an abundance of time, like you have in the holiday season, it's harder to be disciplined with it. And so I would say physical capital was at the bottom. But again, I'll leave you with this question. How about you? What are your capitals in order? Like, how do you have them ordered right now? Now, you may be asking, what if one of my capitals is deficient? Like, if it's like, maybe you're here and spiritual capital is like almost non-existent. Like, we can talk about that over the next 4 weeks. So I want to invite you to come back, and we'll talk about that each week, how we can improve the areas of our life that might be less than others. My goal is to add value to you over the next 4 weeks and help you live that John 10:10 abundant life kind of life. And so I want to do that, but I want to invite you to take out your worship guide that you received when you came in. And on the back, there is some place for notes there. And I want to invite you just to simply write those five words, spiritual, relational, physical, intellectual, financial. And then I want you to number in priority what's number one, what's number two, what's number three, what's number four, what's number five. And as you look at that, don't project, don't write it how you wished it was, but write it as it is, because the only way we can grow is to be able to know where we are right now, because we find out where we are so that we can take our next steps to grow.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.